Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are back on Sports Talk. Steve and Jeff giving you the latest and greatest on the upcoming Pro Bowl this weekend.
No,
we're just kidding.
Not doing it. DeMario's out there playing dodgeball. He's having a good time.
Even the NFL finds a way to gyp the Saints out of a dodgeball title.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. The NFL is basically having a field day. Like, if you remember,
absolutely.
School, that's like having tug of war and all that nonsense. But we do have, okay, so before you do something else and forget again,
yes,
let's
I know.
Talk about the one bit of news for the Saints today that we have completely ignored for the first 2 hours, despite intending to talk about it.
It doesn't mean anything, I guess. Yeah, right.
Okay, go into it.
All right, the Saints have added a assistant coach to the roster. We don't know exactly. We know it's on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
But it does not have a specific title yet.
Yes.
Todd Grantham. A name that obviously LSU fans will be familiar with from his time in the SEC.
Yes.
And I'm imagining that this is going to be someone to help with the D-line. But we'll wait to get an official title, I guess, from the team. Right now it's just saying
Defensive assistant,
right.
Yeah, and Todd Grantham is a pretty household name. It's a pretty big hire. I mean, he's been in the SEC coaching for about 10 years. He's been a defensive line coach for three NFL teams. That would be the
I think it was at the Colts, right?
Colts, I believe Cowboys, and one other. You know, he's been a defensive coordinator for multiple college teams, you know, Louisville,
absolutely,
Florida. I think Mississippi State was in there too. And so, like, he's not a guy you're bringing in.
Cowboys. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Cowboys, yeah. He's not a guy you're bringing in to just be a defensive assistant. Like, he's going to have a major role. It's just a question of what it is, I think. And he obviously has a background in defensive line. He played offensive line in college at Virginia Tech. So it's interesting to me that it hasn't been just declared what his position is going to be, and I almost wonder if it's because he might be in the running for defensive coordinator, and you're bringing him in either way. And, you know, Joe Woods is the only other name we've seen interviewed for defensive coordinator thus far, or that they will interview for defensive coordinator. But, yeah, it's a good hire, I think, and you're kind of rebuilding that staff after you lost Chris Richard and Ryan Nielsen. And the question is, are you hiring three coaches after losing two? Because you obviously lost the co-defensive coordinators, who one was the defensive line coach and one was the secondary coach. And I think as you kind of rebuild this, you would prefer to have a defensive coordinator and a defensive line coach and a secondary coach.
Yeah, that I would imagine that as well, just because, you know, to space that out, because we saw this team have success with the guys, obviously, Richard, Nielsen, and now it's going to be really different to see, especially the defensive line. Nielsen had been here forever.
Yeah, and one thing that I think is a big question for whoever takes over as defensive line coach, can you develop Peyton Turner?
That's a big one for sure.
He has been, you know, Jeff Ireland was pretty blunt in his assessment that he has a lot to work on. He's got to deal with his weight. He's got to deal with his health. And, you know, and I think that's someone going into year three that you have big expectations for.
Absolutely. We'll go to the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Got some callers hanging on. Let's go to Greg, who wants to talk about Jimmy G. I wonder if you might have said something that aggravated him, Jeff. What you got to say, Greg?
Oh, I'm not aggravated.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Glad. Great show. No, so a previous call last hour mentioned something about bringing in Jimmy G. So why wouldn't we do that? And someone commented, well, he had a season-ending injury, and that was of some concern. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, if that had been our attitude a few years back, we wouldn't have had Drew Brees on the team.
That's fair. I'm not saying that.
There's just a lot of injuries for Jimmy G, though, too, I would say.
Well, the question wasn't, would we bring him in? It was, why isn't he getting more hype right now as a popular quarterback pick across the NFL? And I think part of it is coaches and teams will want to see him recover from that injury before they go all in. And so, to me, that's limiting some of the hype around him. But, yeah, I don't think that it's going to be an injury that is going to scare off teams. But as you're going into the offseason, you're going to want to see that he's recovered before you commit, you know, a multi-year deal to the guy. But no, I think that he's going to be interesting. I doubt that the Saints will be where he lands because I just don't think the Saints are necessarily a popular target for quarterbacks right now.
I mean, you think from the quarterback's perspective?
Yes.
Well, you got guys like Olave.
The receivers, I'm talking about from a coaching perspective.
Oh, I got you.
You don't have Sean Payton anymore, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess you have to find that guy you vibe with. Yeah, Pete Carmichael's got to be a busy man trying to sell New Orleans on some of these quarterbacks like a Jimmy G or even, we'll see, Derek Carr.
Cooper Rush.
Maybe Cooper Rush. Let's go to Kenneth on line two from Slidell, who's bringing up Coop. What you got to say, Kenneth?
Well, my opinion with the performance that he showed and by him getting sat down by that, I've seen impressive numbers by Cooper Rush. So
what are you advocating for the Saints to trade for him?
Sure. Okay. Sure. If he showed what he can do, you know, and let him go ahead and prove himself down here, give him a chance.
You know, it is interesting, and it's funny because everyone fell in love with Brock Purdy over the final 7 weeks of the season.
Rush is a free agent.
Oh, is he a free agent? Okay. But, you know, it's funny because everyone kind of fell in love with Brock Purdy, but Cooper Rush was that guy earlier in the season.
Absolutely right.
Right? Like, and everyone, by the end of the season, they kind of forgotten about Cooper. But, yeah, he was very good when Dak was out with an injury. And, you know, Dak came back and led the NFL in interceptions despite missing, like, what, five games, right? So, we were talking about this before. Like, sometimes quarterbacks just need that little bit of experience so that they can build on it and then become a starting quarterback and be consistent. Jimmy Garoppolo got that when Tom Brady was suspended after the Deflategate nonsense, right? Like, that was a big part of what allowed Jimmy to get that role in San Fran. So maybe that's what you see with Cooper Rush down the road.
We'll go from some gridiron talk to some hardwood coming up next. Ali Kosoff talking some Pelicans after the break here on WWL Sports Talk. He's the editor-in-chief at thebirdrights.com. I'm Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak here on WWL Sports Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back in the mix on a Friday edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Also now welcoming him in, editor-in-chief at thebirdrights.com, Ali Kosoff. And man, I'm expecting you to be a pretty busy man next week with the NBA trade deadline coming up. How you doing, Ali?
I'm doing all right. And yeah, I mean, look, what, they've won three times in the last 18 games, and now you've got a trade deadline. So what is the team supposed to do, right?
I like that positive spin you put on it. Three wins is what we talk about that.
Too, right.
No, I'm just kidding. Go, continue.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, do you try and save this team this season with a big move, maybe do some Band-Aids and hope the guys can, you know, find their mojo from earlier in the season? Do you wait for Zion? I mean, there's so many questions right now, and I don't think there's a right answer.
You mentioned, obviously, Zion is the big, I guess you would say, I don't want to say, like...
Linchpin?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I wasn't coming up with it, but... Missing him is obviously huge for this lineup. Brandon Ingram being out for a while, too, didn't help at all. At least B.I.'s back in the mix now, but I see you wanting to say something.
Yeah, and I guess my question, I'm sorry if this is kind of like a Bobby interruption here, but is it really just as simple as, like, man, you need Zion back? Because I feel like the whole reason I was very bullish on this Pelicans roster is that you could survive without one of your stars for an extended period. Obviously, you don't want to live without both of them for that long, but a 10-game losing streak with this type of roster, I mean, that's just – I didn't see that coming in a million years, and suddenly it feels like this is a team that just forgot how to win basketball games.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it because that is exactly what it feels like. And look – they survived when Zion missed a handful of games, you know, before the end of December.
Right.
I mean, and we saw that. They were, what, 23-12 or something along those lines, almost in first place in the Western Conference. And if it wasn't Zion, then it was somebody else always picking up the slack. Well, now I just think everything's just all kind of falling apart to where they maybe grew a little bit overly reliant on Zion, right? So the offense changed a little bit once he started playing well and there was no Brandon Ingram. Then you add the fact that all these role players that were used to smaller roles and they had fresher legs suddenly being pushed into bigger responsibilities and more minutes than they're used to in their careers. And now I feel like just everybody kind of just hit a wall, right? Brandon's back, but he's not the same in rhythm guy that we've, you know, gotten to know here in New Orleans. So he's still searching for his shot. Hopefully he found something right in that game against the Mavericks where he started looking pretty darn good towards the end of the game. And look, the bottom line, though, is this. It's hard to win this league without your stars and your stars playing their best ball. And you don't have to look any further than what happened to the Dallas Mavericks last night, right? With Luka, they were, what, up 30 points? He goes out. They almost lost the game. So it really does help to have your stars. I think that's the number one thing. But it's been just a whole slew of things, right, as I mentioned. And then team, on top of it, just not shooting well. Now I think they've gotten frustrated. And you can see it. That's why all of a sudden, playing for 48 minutes with that effort that we all grew accustomed to, now they can't do that either. So I don't know. Like I said, where do you go if you're Willie Green in the coaching staff? But you got to find something. You got to go back to square root, to maybe back to training camp. I don't know. But you got to somehow light these guys a fire that they can play for 48 minutes and just build on that.
Yeah, it almost feels like in the offseason there was a lot of gravity around the idea of continuity and not shaking things up because you felt like at the end of last season you really found your stride and the needle was pointing straight up. But it almost feels like you've gotten to a point where a shakeup would be a positive thing. And I do wonder, you know, what would be a move that you think is realistic that the Pelicans could make at the trade deadline that might, you know, kind of jumpstart this season, as it will?
Yeah, I mean, before today, the easy answer would have been, you know, you look either for some more shooting because, they've really struggled to put the ball through the hoop. I mean, Trey Murphy hasn't been Trey Murphy now for 6 weeks. I think he's shooting about 32% from three since New Year's Eve, and you're supposed to be able to rely on him. So maybe Bojan Bogdanović, his name's been in a rumor mill for like 5-6 weeks up there from the Detroit Pistons. Toronto Raptors have a lot of guys that could help, right? Gary Trent, OG Anunoby's become a favorite here. But look, if you go for, say, somebody like Anunoby, you're going to have to give up a lot. And it's not just draft assets, right? You would probably have to say goodbye to Herb, maybe even another good young player to make that deal happen. But today, boy, I think the entire NBA world got flipped upside down, right? Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving announced that he wants out, basically, right, trade request, and he's not going to re-sign. So it behooved the Nets to make a deal. But remember, he was always tied to KD, so suddenly it feels like maybe Kevin Durant might be on the market. And if you remember, you know, Kevin Durant, there was interest by the Pelicans organization in sniffing around whether he could be available. and welcome to a trade to New Orleans. So suddenly I think that can of worms has been open. So New Orleans front office, they've got a lot of decisions to make. Do you chase somebody like Durant, or like I said, you go for a Band-Aid like a Bogdanovich or a Trent to add to this lineup and like keep that core, hope that, you know, they can find their way, because they look good for almost, what, half of the season. And if you get Zion back, you just know that this team's going to be better than average.
I want to ask you, Ollie, because I asked Jeff this, I think it was last hour. There just seems to be a lot of negative talk around Jonas Valanciunas on social media right now for me, and I'm really not understanding it, and maybe you can explain it for me. Is there something that his game's lacking right now that this team should move on from? I just think he's too much of a double-double machine and so productive.
I agree with you, and there's two things at play here. Number one, he was never that prototypical center, right, for today's game.
Yeah.
That traditional, right? He's a post player. And the Pelicans relied on him heavily last year when Zion was out. And I think Willie Green did a great job in the coaching staff. But this year, his minutes have dropped. So, therefore, that production isn't quite the same. And on top of that, like I said, now everybody's playing this faster, smaller style of play. Well, he really doesn't fit in that equation. Certainly, that's why we're seeing so much more Larry Nance, and Valanciunas barely plays in second half. So that's why I think fans kind of are ready to move on from him, because if Willie Green's not going to utilize him, right, to and pound the ball in the post, like I thought they should have done that yesterday and some other games here on the losing streak. If you're not going to do it, then maybe you have to go in a different direction. I personally keep him, right? He's great insurance for Zion, because how else are you going to score inside the paint? How else are you going to be able to basically make opponents guard you in the paint instead of draping, you know, their best defenders all over you on the perimeter and making life hard for Brandon A and CJ?
Yeah, and then kind of extending that, can you explain to me why Jackson Hayes has become like a shadow on the Pelicans bench? Because it's like he was the number 8 overall pick in a draft. You'd think you'd be trying to, if nothing else, showcase him for a trade, but he just doesn't – I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw him on the floor. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah, I feel like they've given him so many opportunities this season, and he just hasn't ran away with it. Honestly, I thought earlier in the season Billy Hernan Gomez deserved the minutes ahead of him.
I agree with
but
that. Yeah.
Jackson was the one getting the minutes, right? And he had his glimpses, but that's what he's shown us in 4 years. I don't see how he's improved at all, right? Okay. What has he added to his game? He still gets lost defensively. He still has no moves. Right, whether it's from the perimeter or in the post. So even if a small guard is guarding him in the paint, he still doesn't have a drop step, turn around, shoot over the shoulder. He really, like I said, has no moves. So there's been no improvement on his part. That's why I think, obviously, this marriage with the Pelicans and him is going to end. You've got to think no later than this summer when his contract expires. But, yeah, Jackson, it's a shame because everybody on this team seemingly – takes the game seriously, loves basketball, really works on their craft, but he's one of the few guys that seemingly doesn't. We rarely ever see him stay after practice, right? And you just watch his routines in pregame. He just doesn't really, you know, take it seriously enough, right? And that's unfortunate because he's got all the talent in the world. We see it, right? The ability, his length, it's incredible. It hasn't clicked for him.
Yeah, and I think it is. He's one of those guys where it is kind of confusing if you're just watching the highlights, right? Because he does have the highlight play just built into his DNA, but it's all the small things that you don't get. And it's, you know, it's, you have to wonder, you go back to that draft and, you know, what could have been with some of those picks. That one has always kind of struck me oddly. It struck me odd at the time and it strikes me odd now. But I think that's an interesting point you bring up, because you do watch him play and he just hasn't developed at all.
No, and like I said, it's unfortunate because now suddenly, I don't know how many teams are going to be looking to add a player that, you know, basically has shown zero improvement in his first 4 years. And he's still young, right? You don't write off somebody that I believe he's, what, 22, something along those lines. So it could still click for him. It has for plenty of other players. But here in New Orleans, now that when you've got basically true aspirations of being a top four team, suddenly you've got no room for that type of player on the roster, right? Now you want either guys that are going to be on rookie contracts because they're cheap to bounce off, you know, how much McCollum, Zion, and Brandon Ingram are playing, or you've got guys that are legitimately helping you win, and Jackson fills neither. So, like I said, his time's coming to an end here.
Okay.
Ollie, my man, when are we going to get some three-point shooting from? Because I feel like that seems to be something every single game where we're looking at the other team who has that guy, that one to make the shot from beyond the arc on the other squad, and the Pelicans just don't have that go-to guy that you think when it's in his hand, oh man, that's going to go down. That's going to be that shot for you. And I thought Trey Murphy was going to be the dude for you, but it hasn't panned out. Is that something maybe? I think everyone obviously is looking for that shooter, but that could be, I think, something the team needs to address in this before the deadline ends.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you still have hopes of going on a deep playoff run, you've got to add one more guy. Devontae Graham was supposed to be a big part of that, but he has struggled to make anything outside of the first month of the season. And we've already talked about Trey's struggles. So really, it's just been CJ. He's been the only consistent factor out there for the last 6 weeks. Brandon Ingram, before he missed those 29 games with that toe contusion, he was shooting lights out. I think he was at like 46% from deep. But, you know, he's still looking for his shot since he's returned. But I think he's going to figure it out. You can trust CJ. You hope Trey can. But outside of those three, there's nobody you can point to and say, okay, I think that this guy's going to overcome his struggles, right? Jose's never been a shooter. Najee, right? Kyra Lewis, Herb. You go on down the list. You don't have anybody else. So they do need to get somebody in here.
Yeah, B.I., the last couple games I've watched, it's been like you see him. He's trying to kind of shoot his way out of a funk. Right. But it's almost like a turnover at this point because it's just not looking right. He made 1 3 where he kind of stepped into it. And I've always felt like if you make a three when you step into it, it means your shot's off because you don't get the normal shot anyway. And it's frustrating to watch. And I do wonder, you know, is there an adjustment problem as it pertains to like the in-game decision making for Willie Green in this season, because I think you accept losing streaks to a point, right? Like you accept, okay, you're not going to win every game. Every now and then you're going to get on these slumps. You might lose 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row. Once it gets to 10, that's a problem. That's kind of an existential problem. That can end a season that's the reason that you are now looking at like, man, are they going to be in the play-in? They would have to turn it around to even be in the top 7 seeds of the conference. Is that an issue that you're running into this season? Obviously, Willie Green, he's in his second year. He is not like a coach that's been around for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're learning on the job to some extent. But how have you seen that develop?
Yeah, so with Willie, he, of course, started last year in at the bottom, right? The team got off to the worst imaginable start, and then they grew together, found themselves, and started playing better and added CJ. And so he grew this reliance, I think, on the guys that carried him towards the end of last season. And then, of course, starting this year, right? Even though maybe Devontae and Jackson aren't giving you much yet, they're in the rotations because, look, the team was winning. And I think when you're a young coach, you kind of just lean on that. And that's why he's been, I think, slow to make some in-game adjustments. For instance, against the Mavericks last night, I couldn't believe that Luka wasn't looking at double teams in the first quarter, why he wasn't being picked up full court. When obviously he is their heart and soul and he makes everything go. And you saw it. They collapsed once he left with his injury. So we saw something similar, right, against the board being largely guarded by Herb. Why aren't the Pelicans doubling more if they're going to play these smaller lineups when Jonas isn't out there? And a lot of these guys can defend, when other teams are forcing, like, for instance, Brandon Ingram. He's getting doubled almost on the first possessions. We saw how Miami did it and how other teams have done it. I'm curious about that, too. And like I said, I think you're right. It's because of his youth, and he's kind of trying to stick to what was working because it was working. He's not trying to give up hope on that, because once you start flipping too many, changing up the schemes or the rotations, well, suddenly players, that's when you start tuning out or you get lost, and suddenly guys don't know what they're doing out there. So I think it's a fine balance, and he's trying to find it. And we are seeing some things, right? For instance, Kyra. He played ahead of Devontae Graham, who didn't see any time against the Mavericks last night. So it's not like he's just sitting on his hands and praying, but you're right. I think more radical changes, approaches, whatever, are needed when you can't even get your team to play for a full 48 to win one game.
talking to Ali Cosell of thebirdrights.com. And Ali, man, we need a slump buster big tomorrow and against a team that, you know, everybody here loves to hate. What's going on with the Lakers squad coming into this matchup? I know, obviously, LeBron's on the precipice of making history. Anthony Davis always seems to be nursing some kind of injury, and I think both of them are questionable for tomorrow's matchup. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But look, they've been pretty much on the injury list all season.
Okay.
And they were doing this last year when they were trying to figure out, we'll list them on there and then we'll maybe give them a rest, right, depending on the matchup, whether they felt like they had a chance of winning or if it was an easy enough team. But I tell you what, the Lakers have really turned it around since they had one of the poorest starts of the season. Everybody wrote them off, and that's why Pelicans fans were talking about Victor Wembanyama, right? Supposedly you were able to get it because the Lakers were so poor. You swapped first-round picks because the Pelicans own that ability, right, the swap rights. But no, they've righted the ship, and it's largely been LeBron. Along with Russell Westbrook getting moved to the bench, they've just started playing better, right? They kind of meshed. So they survived, surprisingly, without Anthony Davis, who missed, you know, quite a bit of time with his injury. But now he's back. Now they're fearsome, right? They're playing better than the Pelicans, for sure. But I'll tell you what, I don't think that Brandon Ingram, everybody in that locker room, they would like nothing more than in that 10-game losing streak with the win over the Lakers. Because if you remember last year, Pelicans were struggling getting that playing tournament, right? But they had two big wins against the Lakers to basically end their season while the Pelicans lifted themselves into the playing tournament. So let's hope that they can redo that scenario, right, where it kind of lifts them, gives them a bump up in confidence, whatever it takes, just to get back on track.
Appreciate the time, Ali, as always, editor-in-chief of thebirdrights.com. Hopefully be seeing you in that Smoothie King Center tomorrow. I'll be in there to check out that Lakers matchup. Excited to finally get my first chance of viewing this Pelican squad. Unfortunately, no Zion Williamson, though.
Oh, I hope you're going to be a good luck charm then.
Me too.
If they do win, you're coming to the rest of the game.
I'll put it all on my son. He was going for a while. He was on a streak where all the Saints games he had gone to that they had won, except for that terrible, horrible finale against the Panthers. But, yeah, I'm bringing the good luck with me. We're snapping that streak tomorrow. Appreciate it, Ali. Be talking to you soon, man.
All right, guys. Thanks, Ali.
Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak here on WWL, coming back with more after this on the Big 870 and 105.3 FM, Odyssey app, and WWL.com. Ha, got them all in there.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in Friday Sports Talk, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak hanging out till 7 o'clock. We're almost done, Jeff. What you got planned for the weekend?
Going to hang out and not watch football. You know, that's my dream, is no football this weekend. No, that's really what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch up on a lot of the Mobile stuff. I probably will watch the Senior Bowl, so unfortunately there is football.
You can't escape.
I can't even have my own dream realized.
But who wants to get away from football? Come on.
Sometimes you just got to stop for a moment and enjoy the non-footballness. But no, UConn, I'm a big UConn fan. I don't know if most people don't know that. And so UConn's playing Georgetown tomorrow. I'll probably watch that. That'll be a good time. And that's going to be part of it. And then I am going to catch up on some Senior Bowl stuff because I haven't really gotten a chance to go through all of my notes. I have a lot of video. That's kind of how I tracked a lot of the action, is you can only watch so many things happening at any particular time. So I'll just take video of a lot of the team drills, and then I'll go in and I can like zoom in. I can watch each player individually. And that's the thing, like when you're watching a game of football, it's like you only know like 10% of what's going on. Like most people just watch the ball. So like I always get a kick out of it when I'm on Twitter and people are telling me about how, oh, the guard sucks, he was terrible, like blah blah blah. It's like you watched maybe 3% of all of what that person did throughout a game, because you couldn't have watched more if you were paying attention to what was happening in the game. So, like, that's the funny thing, is like, if you're not going back and like actually watching closely what the offensive linemen are doing, you couldn't tell heads or tails whether they're doing a good job or not, right? You just saw that one play where he got beat. And so that's what I'll probably do that tomorrow. So my non-football will end up being football.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I mean, I've watched Pro Bowls in the past. It's probably been a while.
I couldn't care less about Pro Bowl.
I really don't either. It's like, I don't, this new flag football format and all these little skills competitions that they're doing beforehand. I did catch it yesterday just because I wanted to see Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis. DeMario got robbed. But, you know, other than that, it's really not anything interesting. Yeah. In the all-star game of America's best sport is just no entertainment
value.
It's
like watching you know, your kids play rec basketball. It's just like, oh, well, I'm glad they're having a good time. I couldn't, you know, it's not going to be the most exciting thing to watch, but they're having fun, so good for them.
Yeah, at least we got we got Pelicans basketball tomorrow. We also got LSU men's and women's playing this weekend. And we talked a little bit about the Lady Tigers. That run continuing, pretty impressive. Obviously, Coach Kim Mulkey in year two has his women's Tiger team 22-0.
Kim Mulkey is fun. I enjoy Kim Mulkey. Like,
great soundbite.
I never really understood the whole Kim Mulkey experience. Like, I didn't watch a ton of Baylor women's basketball. You know, it's just not on TV that often. But as someone who grew up watching and like kind of like idolizing UConn women's basketball, I get
sure.
it. Like she's that type of personality. And she had a funny quote about Sean, which was like, bro, have you ever shoveled snow in the morning? Good luck. Because I've also done that. I have this. When I was a kid, I had to shovel our whole driveway. It took me about 2 hours to do, and I got $5 every time. And then the second I moved out, my
five
parents,
bucks. You need more than that.
I agree. I didn't know at the time. I didn't have a union or anything like that. And then was the day I moved out, my dad went to the like Home Depot and bought a snowblower.
All that money you had saved him.
Yes. It was very cool of him to do that. Wait until I was 18 and out of the house, and then he made sure he didn't have to do the work. But, snow sucks.
Well, if you go to Twitter right now, the Denver Broncos account has a message from Sean Payton. He is officially in Bronco land now. Let's ride Bronco country, I guess, for Sean and Russ. And yet, to me, that's going to be a very interesting
hashtag keep bronking.
Yeah, there you go. Just the dynamic, just because Sean came to New Orleans as obviously a new head coach, no real expectations. The Denver Broncos now have gone really all in with the compensation that they've sent away for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton now. And we're still waiting for the details of his contract, of Coach Payton's contract, to see it all too. There is a ton of pressure on him in this gig compared to when he started in New Orleans.
I will say one thing. I guarantee you that every owner in the NFL is like, if you release the details of that contract, I'm going to mail a rock to your window.
Well, we're going to find that eventually, though.
Are we? I don't know what most coaches make. And the only thing that's going to happen if the Broncos are like, oh, we're paying Sean $100 million, is the next head coach who gets hired be like, they're paying Sean $100 million. Why aren't you paying me $100 million?
So far, we know it's a five-year deal. Sounds like it could be creeping in that $100 million range. Steve Gell and Jeff Nowak coming back with more after this. Give us a call on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Back in a flash here on WWL. Do you dream of riding in a carnival parade? WWL has your tickets to roll with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. Ride high atop a float with everything you need, custom and throws for two, all for free. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the ride of a lifetime and the greatest free show on earth, brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz of Covington. The secret is out on affordable luxury, Laissez le bon temps rouler with WWL. And Jeff, have you ever ridden in a Mardi Gras parade?
No, never been invited.
I have not either. See, us Northerners, we got to get in on this. It's something that's still on my bucket list. It doesn't need to be even a huge parade, but I do want that experience.
I'm going to walk in the St. Patrick's Day parade this year, so that's something. But I think it's just a ploy to get my money.
I was going to say, you could walk around and handing out flowers for kisses, right?
Yeah, you got a kilt and you got flowers and a lot of beers.
Plenty of beers, right?
Yes, and dues that you have to pay. But yeah, that's going to be fun. Are you looking forward to any specific parades this year, Steve?
We always do definitely Family Gras since we're in Metairie with the kiddo. We'll be doing the Mad Hatters parade. I believe Bobby Hebert and Scoot will be riding in that again. Also Mike Dettillier. And always at least doing Endymion of the big major parades. That's always a must. Other than that, I could kind of take them or leave them, honestly. I feel like once you've done one, you've done them all. And after a while, I get kind of cranky, angry,
yeah.
ready to go home and be on my couch guy.
Yeah, I know I have friends who are like an everyday parade, like every parade they want to, like every night there's a parade they
yes.
go. I am more of a like two or three big parades, and you know, but Endymion is one that I always do because I live like a block off Canal, and so it's just like goes right by my house. So if I didn't go to that, I would just be like a rube. But it is funny because like my street right now is torn up. Because if there's one thing New Orleans can do, it is tear up the streets. Putting them back together, that is another question. But we are very good at tearing them up. But, like, Endymion's not that far away. It's like, there's like, no street to be had. It's like, is this going to just be this way for, like, there's a lot of traffic that comes through this area during Endymion. And it's like, yeah, okay, we'll see.
Are they working on it daily or spotty?
It's like they're just tearing up more and more. Like I don't
without
know.
Without replacing.
Yeah. No. That's another crew. We're the ruin.
The demo crew.
Yeah, we're the break everything crew. And then the fix everything crew. Yeah, they don't show up that often, but they'll be here. Don't worry.
Just watch out for those, you know, obviously those massive potholes that are like they could swallow an entire Volkswagen Beetle.
Well, that's my favorite part is like you tear something up and then you kind of fix it only to the point that it will be worse in 6 months when it rains and it dips and there's a sinkhole. It's always good times. But yeah, so Endymion's always one for me. I like Zulu. I usually go out to Muses. That's a good time. And I usually pick like one or two more. But yeah, that's usually my go-to.
Do you have a... Do you like a certain throw you're going for, the beads, or do you like end up giving stuff away, or do you end up collecting stuff?
I try to just like not get hit in the eye, but I always get hit in the eyes with stuff.
They're trying for that.
There was one year that I had turned around. Someone had like asked me a question. I turned around. I got hit in the back of the head with a bag of beads. I swear I saw stars. I thought I was going to lose. I probably had a concussion.
My first Mardi Gras, you know, I got thrown a bag of beads too, and I ended up – I threw it back. And I actually got stopped by a cop,
yeah.
And he was like, what are you doing?
You're not allowed to throw stuff back.
I had no idea, but then the big gorilla or whatever comes by, and I'm allowed to throw stuff at that.
Yeah, that's what it's for, Steve. Stop trying to hurt the people in the floats. They pay good money to be in there.
Want to appreciate all the help we got for the show. Charlie Long, behind the glass, Diane Newman, Kevin Cassidy. I appreciate you giving us the airtime. Jeff, what do you have to say as we get ready for another fantastic weekend? Gearing up without football.
I don't have a catchphrase, man.
I still haven't worked on...
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Who dat?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.